This is podcast number 15 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today we're talking about educating the educator. Today, I'd like to respond to this mother's request. I would like a podcast about the education of educators, mothers, and how to let go of the idea of perfection. I think we get stuck thinking we have to do it right, and we're continually feeling like failures. Please help us to lift the burden of thinking perfection is required and help us to see we are doing just fine. I frequently hear other moms saying the same thing. I've heard more than one mom after one of my presentations say, "Oh, if I'd only known this when my children were little, but now it's too late. I failed them." Or they tell me they feel like their own heart is so hard and they just don't know how to warm it up. Comments like that make me kind of sad. First of all, there's no such thing as too late. I really believe that. And second of all, there is rarely a heart so hard that it cannot be softened. I remember reading a news story of a hardened serial killer who was befriended by a man while on death row awaiting execution. Love changed the heart of the killer, who left this life with the heart of a child. He had never had a single person in his whole life who loved him before this man came along, and it changed him. Learning to soften hard hearts is our task at hand. We live in a very hard-hearted culture. What we're seeking to do here at the Well-Educated Heart is to soften and warm hearts, which is a no easy task. It's extremely challenging to go against what is. I often refer to you as pioneers blazing new trails because that's what I believe you are. What we are attempting to do has never been done, and no generation in the history of the world has had the resources and tools we have been gifted to get the job done. I don't know why me, but a vision has been planted deep in my heart. I can see something and feel something that is so glorious and beautiful, I can't begin to describe it. I feel like an artist who has been endowed with a great painting in his heart, but that painting can only be recreated in the outer world, one brushstroke at a time. I feel so inadequate and unskilled to bring forth such a thing, but the pieces that come out often feel very lofty, and I think sometimes that can have the effect of making moms feel inadequate because it is so far above us, all of us. But every time I want to bring it closer to earth, the impression comes, no, we stretch by reaching for that which is above us. So please know, I don't think anyone has yet reached what I'm only beginning to unfold, but there can be and will be great joy in the journey. I read this quote this morning from a wonderful book I own called 1,000 Beautiful Things, compiled by Marjorie Barrows, who, by the way, also compiled the 16-volume Children's Hour series I've recommended before. The words were written by Dawn Byrne. Quote, "My dear son, God has put wisdom in my head and beauty in yours. Wisdom is needed for the governance of this world, but beauty is needed for its existence. In arid deserts, there is no life. Birds do not sing in the dark of night. Show me a waste country, and I'll show you a brutal people. No faith can live that is not beautiful. The beauty God has put in your heart, child, you must always keep. I believe that you have been prepared and preserved for this time to help plant beauty in the world through keeping alive the beauty that has already been planted in the hearts of your children to a degree. How are you going to do it?" I felt to reread The Secret Garden this week by Frances Hodgson Burnett. It's in the month one suggested reading, so you'll get credit for reading it, right? If you haven't read it, I encourage you read it now. And if you've already read it, read it again through the eyes of a well-educated mother's heart, or listen to it with your children. I've provided a link to the written copy in the podcast notes as well as an audio version. This is the story of a little girl whose heart was hardened from neglect and the magic that healed it. We live in a world of instant gratification and quick fixes. If our computer takes more than 5 seconds to load, we get impatient. If our hamburgers take longer than 5 minutes to get to us, we get annoyed. We're used to problems being solved in a 30-minute TV show, and 13 of those minutes are for commercials. It's no wonder we expect ourselves to change right now. We want our homes to be different right now. But growing a flower garden teaches all that is worthwhile takes time. The process cannot be rushed. There is no flower without planting a seed and watering and nourishing it and clearing the weeds away. The secret is that you have a garden within you that needs tending, and your children have the same. Seeds have to be planted and given time to grow, and those seeds are in the form of thoughts and ideas, images and impressions. Do you remember this part of the secret garden? In each century since the beginnings of the world, wonderful things have been discovered. In the last century, more amazing things were found out than in any century before. In this new century, hundreds of things still more astounding will be brought to light. At first, people refuse to believe that a strange new thing can be done. Then they begin to hope it can be done. Then they see it can be done. Then it is done, and all the world wonders why it was not done centuries ago. Just a side note, I hope that's what people will say about well-educated hearts. At first, people may refuse to believe it can be done. Then they will begin to hope it can be done. Then you will show them that it can be done. Then it will be done, and the world will wonder why it wasn't done centuries ago. Now to continue from the book. One of the new things people began to find out in the last century was that thoughts, just mere thoughts, are as powerful as electric batteries, as good for one as sunlight is, or as bad for one as poison. To let a sad thought or a bad one get into your mind is as dangerous as letting a scarlet fever germ get into your body. If you let it stay there after it has got in, you may never get over it as long as you live. So long as Mistress Mary's mind was full of disagreeable thoughts about her dislikes and sour opinions of people, and her determination not to be pleased by or interested in anything, she was a yellow-faced, sickly, bored, and wretched child. But when her mind gradually filled itself with robins and moorland, cottages crowded with children, with queer, crabbed old gardeners and common little Yorkshire housemaids, with springtime and with sacred gardens coming alive day by day, there was no room left for the disagreeable thoughts. So long as Colin shut himself up in his room and thought only of his fears and weaknesses and his detestations of people, he was a hysterical, half-crazy little hypochondriac who knew nothing of sunshine and the spring. When new beautiful thoughts began to push out the old hideous ones, life began to come back to him. Two things cannot be in one place. Where you tend a rose, my lad, a thistle cannot grow. We're tending roses here. I believe a beautiful new era is going to break forth upon the world after a winter season when roots deepen and prepare for a new season, and Satan will be bound because there will be no place in people's hearts for him, because their hearts will be filled with that which is good and true and beautiful. These thoughts have to be planted one seed at a time and given time to take root and grow. As the garden came to life in the book, there was joy in the expectation and at every new bud that blossomed. The joy didn't have to wait until the work was finished, because the work would never be finished. If you are waiting for a moment when you are perfect and doing it all right, you'll be waiting forever. It won't happen. So take your delight in every seed you plant and water and nourish. And some will bloom in spring, and some will bloom in autumn. In the front of the Thousand Beautiful Things book I just told you about is where I found the philosophy of Goethe. He was once asked by a friend what he would suggest as a daily exercise for spiritual betterment. He said, "I would like to read a noble poem. I would like to see a beautiful picture. I would like to hear a bit of inspiring music. I would like to meet a great soul, and for my fellow men, I would like to say a few sensible words." I've taken his recommendation to heart, and it has changed my life. When I feel those discouraging or depressing thoughts try to take hold, I'll turn on some music or reach for a poem. I had one of those moments this week. I often feel overwhelmed and inadequate. so I've been taking time to spend with a great soul, Professor Lawrence Jones, whose, as the book cover says, courage and invincible faith created a miracle of hope and education for the forgotten Negro communities of Mississippi. Here is the complete account of a modern Booker T. Washington and of the Piney Woods Country Life School, which he created against tremendous odds. I read a little every day, and he's teaching me about faith and not giving up and love. And I find myself telling my husband the stories I'm learning from Lawrence, and my husband is lifted too. You are not alone. Trailing clouds of glory do your children come from heaven, which is their home, as Wordsworth wrote. As much as you love your children, there is a heavenly parent who loves them infinitely more. But ever polite and patient, he waits for the invitation to come into your homes and lives. He will make up for the part you cannot do. You can plant seeds, but he provides the magic. Your child is actually not an empty bucket. He is, as a seed, fully endowed with the potential to reach the full measure of his creation. What you provide is the water, the nourishment, and the pulling of weeds. No rushing is possible, and you'll be sadly disappointed if you are expecting a peony if your child is meant to be a daisy. He is part of a heavenly design in which your child has a unique role to fill. I love pink roses, but thank heavens there is an endless variety of other colors, textures, and shapes. It makes the world beautiful and whole. Try not to be hard on yourself. Chase those bad thoughts away with inspiring ones. Spend time in the Mother's University and keep learning. We had one of the best Mother's Day talks I've ever heard last year in church. The man who gave it said that his mother only did one thing right in her whole life. She was a selfish alcoholic and a drug addict and had a mess of a life. But when she became pregnant and everyone told her the best thing she could do was to abort that baby, she chose to give him life. With tears running down his face, he said, "Thank you, Mom, for giving me life, because I love life." Somehow, even though he grew up in that kind of turmoil with the most imperfect of mothers, he emerged as a kind, compassionate, caring man who is doing much good in the world. There is nothing that is required of you but that you will be able to do. There are many forces at work in your child's life, for good and for bad. It is not for you to shoulder the burden that you are solely responsible for the outcome of your child's life. When I graduated from college with a degree in child development, there's only one thing I remember from the graduation ceremony. The speaker said something that has stuck with me all these years. He said, well, actually it may have been a she, I don't even remember. The speaker said, "Every child needs and deserves to have at least one person in his life who is wildly crazy about him. Love makes up for a multitude of other shortcomings. Let that wildly crazy in love with a child person be you. Then keep tending the garden, one seed at a time, and watch it bloom." And now I'll close this podcast with your little poem for the day. "Little by little," said a thoughtful boy, "moment by moment I'll well employ, learning a little every day, and not spending all my time in play. And still this rule in my mind shall dwell, whatever I do, I will do it well. Little by little I'll learn to know the treasured wisdom of long ago, and one of these days perhaps we'll see that the world will be better for me. Now do you not think that this simple plan made him a wise and a useful man?" Bye-bye, see you next time.